disturbing discovery at an abandoned mobile home park.
Another suicide.
The nation's suicide rate is at its highest point since 1986.
When police came to the house, they saw tons and tons of trash. Turns out the daughter is a hoarder.
Crews made the gruesome discovery today inside a home.
They had 70 cats and dogs, mostly dogs. They found one deceased kitten inside the home.
A woman was found dead in a local home. That house had been tented for fumigation work.
The following is a true story. Names and locations are kept anonymous in order to protect the privacy of those involved.
I'm Vanessa Fearson, and this is a true story of my journey in death's wake. Her job isn't a typical 9-to-5. Some days you work, other days you don't. Everything is subject to change in the blink of an eye, much like life. I love my job. I love helping people, and I wouldn't change anything about it. But nothing in my life is predictable anymore, like having to cancel a hair appointment without notice. I've walked out of a movie with my kids. I've left Christmas dinner, all because someone out there needs me. I've been a crime scene cleaner through 4 pregnancies. I've been on jobs where I've had to run to the car to pump for my baby who was exclusively nursing. This job waits for no one. When you have kids and no sitter, and you run a business that operates 24 hours a day, you get creative. It's almost like a fire drill with the kids every time we get a work call. It's kind of comical, actually. Of course, we do everything in our power to be professional. I mean, I can't have screaming kids in the background while I take a call that someone's kid just committed suicide. I can't tell the caller I have to run through my list of on-call babysitters to see if I can find one available. Well, you get the picture. But try explaining that to a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. But we make it work. And in all honesty, the majority of our clients love the fact that we're family-owned. This job is still a tough one to digest. It goes beyond what you'd read in the press or hear in the media. There are details of this job that only we know about, and they're heartbreaking and gut-wrenching. The call had come in early that morning, and we found ourselves on the road again. The details weren't very clear. All we knew was that someone had shot someone with a gun. A shotgun. The man who met us out front of the poorly maintained apartment building was the manager. He wore the sullen look on his face like a mask. He quietly greeted us and led us to the back of the building. As we rounded the corner, I immediately saw the blood and brain matter that had coated the window and the wall of the lower unit, and even the stairs leading to the upper unit. As we set our equipment down, the manager spoke only 2 words. There's more. We followed him up the blood-stained stairs to the unit at the top. He unlocked the door and stepped aside, obviously having no desire to enter the apartment. I quietly stepped past him and into the unit. At the beginning, I thought this might be a fairly easy cleanup. But as I entered, I was quickly disabused of that notion. Children's mattresses and blankets were strewn about the living room. Dishes and fast food wrappers overflowed the sink and counters and were piling up on the floor. The smell of old food and bad hygiene was strong, but not enough to completely hide the too familiar scent of blood. Although the apartment was unkempt, there was still a lingering feel of family. This had once been a place of happiness and comfort. The gore stood in stark contrast. If walls could only talk, these would be screaming. The living room wall led immediately into the hallway and was heavily sprayed with blood. In the middle of it all was the only clean space, and it was a clear outline of a body. Crimson spatter and sickly pink brain matter covered the walls and ceiling, and even made it into the bedroom at the end of the hallway. After surveying the scene and already seeing as much as we could stand, we joined the manager outside. I just looked at him and said 2 words of my own, What happened? I didn't think a scene like this could get any worse. As the manager spoke, I learned I was wrong again. The tenant of the unit was a middle-aged woman. She had 7 children, ranging in age from 18 months to 18 years. Her current boyfriend was the father of only the youngest child. The evening before, the family was gathered in the living room. The boyfriend and about-to-be murderer was drinking, and drinking heavily. At some point, an argument broke out. In an alcohol-fueled fit of rage, the boyfriend pulled out a sawed-off shotgun and began threatening the mother of 7. The family, understandably terrified, tried to calm him and get him to put the gun down. I don't know what it was that set him off, nor do I know what the last straw was. All I know is that at some point, the victim-to-be was staring into the dark depths of death at the end of a gun. Something was said, the trigger was pulled, and another life was extinguished. Sickeningly, the outline on the wall was not that of the victim. It was one of the children. They were physically unharmed, but nonetheless showered with the blood of their mother and forever scarred. Amid the screams and chaos, the eldest daughter's boyfriend wrestled the drunken gunman to the ground. They tussled about the living room, and the younger man somehow managed to push him outside of the door and down the stairs. The assailant was about to become the victim when he stood up, gun still in hand, and the full scope of what he had done finally hit him like a runaway Mack truck. Not wasting any time nor waiting for the police, he placed the barrel in his mouth and pulled the trigger one last time. If you're enjoying this episode, I want to take a moment to tell you about Resonate Recordings. Resonate Recordings edited, mixed, mastered, and produced the episode you're currently listening to. They offer professional podcasting services to podcasters all over the world. Editing, mixing, mastering, custom production, sound design, music creation, hosting setup, and even RSS feed configuration are just a few of the services they offer. If you're considering starting a podcast or want to increase the quality of your podcast, go to resonaterecordings.com to see how they can save you time and help take your podcast to the next level. Resonate Recordings has a professional team of experienced audio engineers, producers, and musicians who all have a passion for podcasting. Right now, my listeners can go to resonaterecordings.com and get their first episode produced for free. No commitments, no strings attached. You too can have an expertly crafted podcast at no risk to you. So what are you waiting for? Go to resonaterecordings.com and complete the form at the bottom of the page. Just tell them Vanessa sent you. Now back to the show. I could only stare in shock. Most people would assume the worst part about our job is scraping brains or wiping up blood. But the truth is, that's the easy part. The hard part is coming face to face with the ugly side of man and realizing that in all of our achievements and technology, we have yet to solve the problem of man himself. Coming to as best we could, we suited up and began the grim and tedious task before us. We started outside. This would remove the aftermath for the neighboring tenants as well as, hopefully, put us inside before it started to get hot. When you're on scene and in full gear, there's usually very little said between us, as it can be difficult to understand words said through the filters of a full-face respirator without yelling and repeating. Today, that was okay. I don't think either of us felt like saying much anyway. The outside scene was fairly easy to clean, and once we finished there, we moved once again into the ghastly apartment. As we cleaned our way down the hallway, I entered the bedroom at the end of it. Like the rest of the apartment, it was in a state of disarray. Toys, trash, clothes, and various other items littered the floor. Whether this was normal or done in the wake of the homicide was unclear. Although with 7 children, I can only imagine. What was clear was, despite the distance from the source, there was a significant amount of blood. As I was disposing of contaminated toys, papers, and trash, I picked up a blood-speckled piece of paper. The big red A on it made it immediately clear it was a school assignment. But it wasn't the good grade or even the spattering of blood that caught my attention. It was the heading that caught my eye and wrenched my heart. It read, "Why I Love My Mother." My vision was instantly blurred by the tears I fought hard to keep back. I couldn't move for what seemed like an eternity. When people find out what we do, they usually ask us the same questions. How can you do that job? How do you stand it? Does it mess with your head? As I stood there motionless, I began asking myself these same questions. Though, this time the answers were different. Could I still do this job? How do I stand this? In all honesty, though, I genuinely love my job. I get to help. Although most of the time people are happy to see us, they never want to see us again. In any event, it seemed like forever, but my doubts went as fast as they had come. Yes, it bothers me. It bothers me that one person could do this to another. It bothers me that rationality seems to be a rare commodity. I stand it because someone has to. I have to. It doesn't mess with my head because I don't let it. I have to be steel and keep all emotions detached. It's a constant internal battle, and rarely is it easy. But somehow I've managed to keep going. They say it's a dirty job and someone's got to do it. And that someone's me. And again, the truth is I love what I do. No one's twisting my arm to do it. As time began to move again, I added the essay to the rest of the contaminated items. Carpet was removed, ceilings were scraped, and the apartment was safe to occupy once again. Our clothes were drenched with sweat, and we finally stepped out of our suits and took off our gloves. That first breath of air unhindered by a respirator after hours in one is the sweetest breath one can take. Hair disheveled and minds exhausted, we cleaned off our tools and packed up. Although we were able to erase all physical evidence of this tragedy, nothing can remove the emotional stain from those close to it. But we do what we can to help. Despite the death of one or many, life does go on. We continue to live so that those we've lost can be remembered. Maybe that's what life is all about. Thank you for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Today's episode was produced by Resonate Recordings. I'd like to announce this week's t-shirt winner. The winner is Kimberly Martin. Congratulations, Kimberly. Be sure to email info@thecleaningofjohndoe.com and send me your mailing address and your t-shirt size. Be sure to subscribe and review us on iTunes. It really helps. I can't express my gratitude enough for all the love and support we've been receiving so far. You guys are all awesome. If you truly enjoy what you're hearing, help spread the word to your friends, family, and coworkers. As a thank you to our listeners, we'll be giving away 8 $25 Amazon gift cards just in time for the holidays. For more information, head over to the Cleaning of John Doe's Facebook page and get in on our giveaways. Gift card winners will be announced on our Tuesday, December 5th episode, so stay tuned. Thanks again for listening to The Cleaning of John Doe. Please tune in next week for The Cat House, a story about our very first hoarding cleanup.